cliffcentral.com.
The marvelous Cardi B. So exciting with that wet ass pussy. That's what her song is. That song kind of, that song I think encapsulates like 2020. That's what it was. It was a year of wet ass pussy. And not in a good way. It was a year of just, yeah, it was the opposite of what that's meant to achieve.
Vagina pussy.
Mm-hmm. Happy Friday, everybody. That's going to be a shock for someone. You know, I always wonder about those people who've stumbled on the show for the first time, and they'll go to the podcast this morning, and we have to cut the song out. They'll hear me start off by going, yeah, wet-ass pussy, and that'll be how they start. That's how our relationship will start with that person, and
it's where it all starts.
Yes, it is.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, my God. I'd forgotten about... What was his name? Bert
Leclos. That's Chad Leclos' dad. Unbelievable.
Oh. Unbelievable.
Yeah. All right. So we can talk to the Kiffness later on, which is cool. What's on your mind this morning, Leanne Moll? What's going on in your world? Have you got some kind of a story that you've dug out of the Leanne Moll archives for us? Or is there something that you're doing that's fun or interesting? What do you want to get to this morning? I know Sia's got a bunch of stuff too.
Let's have a look. Ooh! Did you hear about the man who opened up his indoor? He opened up a door within his house to the balcony, and there was a pride of lions, like seven lions.
Oh yes,
in Hoedspruit. Lying on his doorstep.
Sure.
They were just chilling in the shade, mostly lionesses, as they are in a pride.
Mm-hmm.
And as he opened the internal door, thank God it was internal, the one lioness had her paws rested up on the glass. She was just chilling. She heard the door open and she turned her head and had a quick look and listened. And then he made a noise. This is all on video, obviously.
Yeah.
He made a noise and they kind of got spooked and all stood up and started moving around. But can you imagine looking out onto your balcony and they're like seven lions?
Oh my God.
Lying around. Yes, it is Hoedspruit. But and the whole story premise is that Hoedspruit is now joining Four Ways because apparently in Four Ways they're looking for a stray hippo.
Yes. Yeah, there's a hippo. Wandering around. I know. There was an actual live hippo running around.
It's Africa, guys. Don't forget.
And we wonder why people from places like the United States go, oh my God, do you have lions like walking around your house? Yes, sometimes we actually do. Case in point.
So the most recent update I saw on the Four Ways hippo was yesterday when someone filmed the hippo in their pool. But clearly this video had been circulated so much and the person who uploaded it on Twitter wasn't who originally got it because there was no sound on the video. Mm. But the hippo is just casually in the pool. Can't we do something about this?
Well, we should. You know,
I think it's amazing.
It's amazing.
It's not like it's a little hamster that's on the loose. It's a bad mamma jamma hippo.
Yeah, hippos are very, very dangerous.
Yeah, I'd probably be more scared of a solo hippo than I would six lionesses.
Yeah, you'd be right to
really?
Be.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you clap your hands loud enough, the lionesses will run away.
You
the
clap
hippo's
your
not
hands.
Taking any of your shit.
Yeah, you clap your hands loud enough. Right. If you frighten the hippo or you get between it and the water, you're finished. First of all, it'll probably trample you to death, and if it doesn't, it's got this enormous, enormous mouth with these huge, huge ivory teeth, and it will chomp you. It's not because
the size of tusks.
Yeah, not because it wants to eat you, but because hippos are very aggressive, and they're territorial. And if it's uncomfortable or feels threatened or whatever, you're in big trouble, man.
I read that if you need to get away from a hippo, and this is because I go to
pray
a
hippo-infested
river once a year.
Yeah.
But the way to get away from a hippo is to run around like a rock or a tree.
Yeah.
Something that's very small because they take a long time to turn. So if you run in small circles, you'll be okay.
Listen, those things can pick up some speed, though. I mean, I get that turning for them is hard, but going, if you're going in a straight line, they will beat you. They are faster than you, even though they're so big.
And Leanne, I get tips and advice like that, and God bless Bear Grylls and National Geographic, but I know, heaven forbid I'm ever in a situation like this, I know I would never be able to focus and take things like that. You know, I think they say also with either hippos or lions or something, or is it bears? Anyway, some wild animal, make yourself as big as possible. So stand with your legs parted as wide as possible.
Yeah,
and stand with
not,
your arms wide.
Not with a hippo.
I am running with my arms flailing in the air and screaming as loud as I can. That is what that's my tactic for any wild animal I come across. It's just not going to happen. You know, every now and then there are also these viral videos that you see of people on safari. The video that I saw was a lion, and this was, you know, people on a game drive, mm-hmm. and on one of those safari trucks, a lion just was, it started off as a lion just rubbing its body against the truck.
Yeah.
And you can tell just that there's just one eager person who's filming all of this. And then the game driver goes, you know, just everyone stay still, keep quiet, stay still, keep quiet. And the next thing, the lion jumps up onto the truck. Once again, I guess this is me and my inconsiderate self. I would have jumped off.
The lion would jump on the truck and Sia would jump off the truck.
Listen, that would make a lot of people. You're not brave. You are not brave if you go, oh no, it's just a lion. You're stupid. We've all seen people being. These are wild animals. They're not pets, you know.
Yeah.
It's craziness.
I do remember going to a small game range, and a friend and I decided we would go and use their spa and see the elephants and do all sorts of things. And we were driving, you know, you sign in at the gate and it says, you know, beware that there's going to be wild animals on the road. Came around this corner, was this
Leanne, we've lost you.
Oh.
She's just
a critical part of
she's
the story.
Just frozen. It was just getting exciting.
You signed in and then?
Yeah, you signed in, we came around a corner and then dies at that
Is
moment.
Is your friend no more?
Shame. No,
what was I?
No, you've just, we lost you for a second there. You've just come back.
It's because I saw a rhino.
Oh, it was a rhino. Did you, guys drove and then you had a rhino right in front of you?
Yes.
Okay.
And so we were sweating beads while we were passing it, but it happened to be a statue.
Oh.
Not an actual rhino.
Oh, come on.
Oh,
it took us
good.
Ages to get there.
I like that. All right. I've got an email here from someone. This Leanne, you might want to climb in on this because we asked when Pumi was on. Sia wants to know what to do with knives that are not sharp anymore. So Dr. Mum just wrote to us and she says, I'm listening to a conversation on knife sharpening today and I laughed so hard. My son, who's now 20, has been homeschooled since he was 12 and has been an apprentice knife maker from the age of 14. He's done all the usual subjects alongside learning his trade, but he's now 6 years ahead of anyone else coming into his field. This is one of his latest knives and she sent this beautiful, it looks like damask steel knife. They make many knives for chefs and chefs often send all their knives in for sharpening. It's one of the jobs that he had when he was an apprentice. See, this is where, like, these apprenticeships are so great because you learn to do something that you can always charge money for. Having good knives, sharp ones, means you get cut less frequently because you can cut with more skill and more accuracy. By the way, the steel you were referring to is damask steel. It is made by folding layers of metal and forging it. I've actually got a Japanese katana, which I bought probably about 15, 20 years ago. And I had to have it made in Japan by a master swordsmith. And he took 6 months to make it. And it cost quite a lot of money, but not like extraordinary heaps of money.
Well, I mean, rightly so. It should be 6 months worth
sure.
of salary.
Yeah. No, it was really beautifully made. And I've still got it here in my house. And I have to oil the blade occasionally and make sure that it's kept, you know, in good condition. But you can actually see the lines in the steel where every line represents a fold. And that's kind of what Dr. Mom says here about her son. That is such a great skill. I'm so pleased that you sent me that email because I love hearing about people who have those kinds of skills. They are just the most extraordinary things to be able to do. Love it.
So over Christmas time, my dad is not your typical dad who sits up and watches the golf and has a beer.
Mm-hmm.
He's very active and he gets bored very quickly unless there are things around to stimulate him.
Right.
So over Christmas time, my brother gave my dad, a sharpener and all of his knives. And my dad sat there and sharpened knives. And it really paid off because now my brother has a sterling set of sharp knives.
That's amazing.
But it really, you know, some people just buy a new knife if their knife is blunt.
Well, that's what Sia was saying yesterday. I mean, you can, but you actually have to know what you're doing. Like I remember when I was little and I saw him do it again when we carved stuff up for Christmas. But my dad has one of those knife sharpeners. It's like a long kind of cylindrical shape thing with obviously an abrasive edge. And then you kind of rub the knife blade against it. But you have to know what you're doing. And then you get a lot of mechanical and device oriented. You could keep these things in your kitchen, I suppose. And the one is you slide the knife through it and it supposedly sharpens it. But these guys, like what Dr. Mom is saying now about her son, that's a real skill. Those people know exactly what they're doing. And some of them can sharpen things to the extent that if you dropped paper toweling over it, it would split it in half. That's when you know something's properly sharp. Or you can cut paper with it.
I have a block of wood which has stone attached to it, which I use to sharpen my knife.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Ooh.
It's like a stone which then the stone actually just wears away the bluntness and sharpens it up. Yeah,
and that the stone itself wears away.
None of that sounds like things I deserve to have my hands on.
Well, you know, we had Joe Camino on the other day, and he upset a lot of people because he reminds them that their finances are out of order. But there are lots of emails that I've gotten the last week saying thank you so much for bringing Joe on. And here's one from Lindsay who says, two things associated with the show that got me really excited recently. I was driving through my neighborhood in December and I saw a Taylor Blinds and Shutters van outside a neighbor's house. They were doing an installation and I was really happy to see a friend of the show getting the job. You see, this is the stuff I love because that relationship is so cool. That because you listen to Blind History, for example, when you see a Taylor Blind van, you want to tell us about it. I think that's so cool. In September, my insurance company sent me an email with a re-rating notification. The body of the mail was vague, no increased sums mentioned, had about 5 attachments that I didn't have the time to investigate. While on holiday in December, I heard Joe Camino's voice in my head saying, the value of your car goes down each year, but the insurance premium increases annually. How does that make any sense? So Lindsay decided to open up the attachments and discovered to her horror that they'd put up the premium for a policy insuring 2 homes and 1 car by 500 Rand, which was an increase of over 10%, which I'd been paying since October. I called them up and explained that I was not willing to pay for an increase as my car is worth less than it was last year. They tried the replacement value bullshit on me and I reminded them that my car was not insured for replacement but for book value at the time of the theft or write-off, and they dropped the additional 500 Rand increase. I was so glad that you recently had Joe on to remind everyone to go through this. It's well worth the effort. So thank you, Lindsay.
Wow.
The other day, my card was declined. It was an issue of just transferring funds from one account to another.
Don't lie, Leanne. And haven't been paying your card off.
And I whipped out my credit card, and I swear I could hear Joe's voice in my head.
Yeah. No, no, no. Listen, he's full of good advice and he's got a great way of telling people. I mean, my favorite thing with him is when he goes after spoiled kids. He's like, "You're spoiled kids. They don't need a new pair of Nikes. They don't need that branded shirt with Adidas on it." I love it. He's so passionate about that stuff. You have to really care.
Again, it's every now and then these lists also pop up. But again, I saw a list of the richest schools in South Africa and how much they cost. And just looking at that, man, you can't do things like that without having your finances in order. We can actually all do a little better with getting our finances in order and
definitely
just cutting costs here and there.
And not having children.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
And not having children.
Greatest contraceptive school fees.
That might already be, it might be too late for some people. You know, the problem with having a child is you can't go back and hand them in at the shop and say, "This thing is defective. I don't want it anymore."
Yeah, it's like toothpaste. Once it comes out, you can't put it back in.
Exactly.
And not to make this a downer now, but there was a post that was shared a lot recently of someone whose mother and sister are currently in hospital sick and they have COVID. And he was just sharing his experience of saying, "Look, if anything were to happen to them, I'd have the responsibility of 7 dependents now that I have to look after." I thought, wouldn't that change your life from just living your life? Or perhaps he has 2 or 3 kids and now he'd have to take on his younger siblings that are under his mother's care and his sister's kids. Like that would, yeah, your pocket would never be the same.
Inge says there is nothing better than a carborundum stone for sharpening a knife. It fucks the knife up.
That's what I have.
Inge says it fucks the knife up, but it really sharpens the knife in a jiffy.
So yeah.
There we go. Some useful info from Inge. And Carl says, "Can I just ask all of you people who are insuring your car at book value, what you're going to do if your car is stolen or written off? You're not going to be able to replace it. I love Joe, but you must stop and think a bit." I do not own a car at the moment because I'm driving Phil from DeWitt Motors' car, right? And we're going to we'll catch up with Phil again sometime this year and find out what he's up to. But when I do have to get another car, Carl, to your point, I'm going to get something cheap and nasty. I'm not going to get something expensive. So in other words, I'm going to downgrade hugely because how often do I drive now? Not nearly as much as I drove last year or the year before.
I see Carl's point to the max because I've had cars stolen and I've had phones stolen and laptops stolen, and replacing them, I've been blessed, #blessed, by insurance when I can go in and get the latest model of whatever to suit my needs. That's the one thing that I don't quite get with Joe's.
But you also have an e-toll thing in your car, so
yeah.
What are you going
to
do
about
you?
Careful about everything.
Hey Dave, what's happening, dude?
How's it, Gareth?
It's good to see you, man. Are you having a happy time? How's summer in Cape Town?
It was flippin' hot yesterday, and I woke up to a cold and rainy Cape Town, so I have no idea what's going on, but
being Cape Town.
Yeah.
Dave, we were joking before you came on about how the last time we had you on the show, I think you were in bed and your poor wife was sleeping next to you and you insisted on putting her on camera and she was like, she woke up and she was really annoyed with you. And I can see she's in the background there again. She doesn't learn. Like she must be so tired of you after being locked down with you and you're singing and you're making your songs up and you're getting into trouble the whole time. I saw a very sweet video you put up it was an Instagram post or something where you said that you just wanted to thank her for being so patient and so sweet with you when you're such a complicated person to live with.
Yeah, and the picture is of her lying on the table with a bottle of Castle Light next to her. So people thought I'd kind of driven her to drink.
So listen,
maybe I did.
Let's get all the serious stuff out of the way first because it is Friday and I don't really feel like getting too serious. But you got into such a lot of trouble last year, something which, you know, I'm not unfamiliar with, and something which I know you put on a brave face and you you pretend sometimes, well, this is what you got to do if you believe in free speech and if you're a creative person. But it does get to you. I mean, you had some lows last year as well as highs. So let's get those out of the way first and talk about the shitstorm that you got into a couple of times on social media because people have no imagination and they don't know how to laugh anymore. And they're all trying to be—they're trying to outwoke each other. So, just explain for people who didn't get it what was going down. Because I thought you handled it beautifully.
Well, obviously, I kind of moved from parody into a more satirical realm, mm-hmm. and obviously, that's a little bit more dangerous than parody. I mean, parody is just for laughs, but satire, with it being quite political, I think. The sun's coming out. It's shining right on my face now.
You just lit up like Jesus.
Yeah, no, jeez. It's like I'm seeing the truth in the light now.
No. All right, so carry on with the explanation of the turning parodies into satire.
Yeah, so I mean, I started getting, you know, labeled a racist. I think it started with Maya Messina. You didn't like my parody of the national anthem, where I was making fun of Dlamini Zuma. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just snowballed from there, I guess. People started nitpicking my sort of satirical parodies, and it kind of comes with the territory, I guess. It's normally water off a duck's back, but when it kind of just keeps happening, it does get to you a little bit, I'd say. But yeah, I'm just a concerned citizen, I think, like anyone else. I think I'm moving into a sort of territory in my life where I'm wanting to start a family and wanting to raise kids in this country. And I think when you start moving into that kind of space, you kind of start worrying a little bit more about, you know, what people like Julius Malema are saying, you know, and when the Human Rights Commission aren't really holding them to account for, you know, the incitement to violence and that kind of thing, you kind of have to start doing something yourself. I mean, I don't want to have to say these things, but the Human Rights Commission isn't doing anything. So I kind of feel like I have a moral obligation to say something.
I don't know you well, but what I do, and we have a couple of mutual friends, but what I do know about you is that you're not a person who wakes up in the morning filled with hatred and vengeful ideas and, you know, thoughts of destroying your enemies. You're a creative guy. You're a creative guy who's got an incredible ability to make things funny and to make things musical. And you combine that in the best way possible, which anyone with talent who gets that right should be allowed to do their thing, because it brings great joy and happiness to other people. And that's why you've developed such an audience online. And I mean, you've broken some records with the number of views that you've had for some of your stuff on YouTube and on Instagram and on TikTok and everywhere else. But it does kind of hurt. And I remember when I was accused of, this is all those years ago with Penny Sparrow, and you know, I had an argument with Musi Maimane, and people interpreted that to mean that I was supporting Penny Sparrow, and they were calling me a racist. And, you know, if you deep down inside do not bear anyone ill and you get called something like that, it, even if you try and brush it off, it hurts. And it has the effect of, in the long term, you know, the people who throw that term around, they water it down every time they use it until eventually you don't care about being called a racist anymore. And I think that's also quite dangerous, because you do care about being called that. You don't want to be thought of as a racist. You don't think of yourself that way, and people in your life will vouch for you. But when people call you that enough, you eventually go, you know what? Screw you. I don't actually care anymore if you call me that. And if everybody decides that, then suddenly racism is not as bad a thing as it should be.
Yeah, you pretty much normalize racism, and then people who actually are racist feel the same way in a way, I guess.
Well, they feel like they can actually be outwardly and openly and obviously racist, and that does not lead to good things in society. So anyway, let's leave the serious stuff aside. When you're making these songs, when you're sitting down to create them, is it something that happens in the news? Does it all come to you in one go? Or do you have to sit and work it out? Is it like a process that you follow? Because I'm always interested in how musicians do this, and especially when it comes to parody and satire.
With parody and satire, I normally try not to force it. It normally is just like a lightning bolt, you know, moment where it kind of just happens, and it's normally quite late at night. I mean, I never quite know when these things are going to happen. Sometimes it's in the shower, but normally it's around 11:30, 1 in the morning, where the ideas come. Yeah, that sort of time. That's like the
around the, that time.
Yeah, that's like the magic hour. 11:30 again, to 1:30.
Your poor wife, because
11:31.
You guys are living in the same place together, and she has to be part of this process whether she wants to or not. Tell me about Bilal Gorgon, this person that you've just collaborated with on Ivan Polka. What is that? Did I say that right?
I think so, yeah. I mean, your guess is as good as mine, but I think it's pronounced Ivan Polka. And it's a Finnish folk tune that was written in the 1930s. I mean, I found this all out, obviously, afterwards.
Yeah.
But
you want to know why?
Yeah, I kind of just saw this video of Bilal performing the song on his drum and singing it, and then someone had put a cat to the video. So the video was initially uploaded in 2018. It didn't do much, but then someone somehow found it and put this cat to it, and then it just became a viral sensation. And then that's obviously when I saw it, and I just thought it was such a incredibly catchy tune. I found myself singing it in my head all the time. I was actually quite annoyed. So I think I kind of just wanted to make a remix, hoping that it would get it out of my head and get it out of my system, but it kind of just made it worse. I put my little 1 minute remix out onto the internet, and people seem to like it. And
three and a half million views, and that's it's only since the 17th of December when you put it up. Let me just play a little bit of it in case somebody's missed this, in case you're not one of those 3 million, 3.5 million people. Listen to this.
Yes, so this is just the raw audio, and then I kind of come in and...
Right, and then you also did something clever. It's like you've got yourself to look like you're sitting on the bench next to him.
Yeah, that's probably the cleverest thing I've ever done in my life.
It's very clever. It sounds like the kind of drunk song that Borat would do at a wedding. Yeah. You know?
Yes. It's nice.
Is it very nice? So, dude, just boast a little bit here. How many instruments can you play, and how many things can you operate successfully as a musician?
Well, I'd say trumpet is my main instrument.
Yeah.
But I grew up learning the piano kind of just by ear, just sitting down at the piano. My brother's a drummer, so my brother taught me drums. And I kind of just picked up instruments along the way. I used to play in a church band, playing bass and guitar and writing songs for my church in Grahamstown, actually. That's when I started writing songs.
I probably would have had a scene with you.
Oh, really?
My church drummer.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Don't worry. Leanne slept with so many men. It's just a possibility.
Yeah, so in the church band, I played all kinds of instruments. But when I was playing drums, that's when I became the most eligible bachelor in my church. The ladies love a drummer.
You know why?
Especially when you get on the toms and you get all tribal and everyone's just, you know, getting into the spirits and that kind of thing.
It speaks to some, like, deep instinct that we don't even understand properly. Dude, people just love your music. Kerry says, I love the Kiffness. He's brilliant. Who's this? Ruth says, I smock you, dude. Wear that fragrance with pride. Keep it up. Don't ever stop doing what you're doing, and don't let anyone get in your way. Lots of other people full of compliments about your music. So obviously there's a whole new year for you to now start pissing off a group of new people, but you're also going to be releasing actual music, like the song I just played now. So in between the parodies, do you have a quota of fun and stupid stuff that you do, and then your actual music, or do you just blend them all together and people must get whatever they want?
Well, funny enough, I think this song is almost a response to just all the hate I was getting. I kind of just wanted to make something that was so non-political. And I think this song really is a testament to that. If you go and read the comments on YouTube, none of them are negative. People are just loving it all around the world, getting comments from Turkey, China, Spain, just all over the place. And people only have good things to say. And it's nice to kind of have that for once, you know, not kind of split people and, you know, get this polarization happening. I think I might lay off the parodies for a bit. Mm. I found that this song was just very rewarding. I mean, normally hate is water off a duck's back, but I'm kind of just over it, to be honest. Like, I want to just do more stuff like this, I think. But you never know. I can never plan this stuff. You know,
sure,
a politician could do something today that could spark an idea, which is maybe funny, and you never know. I could have a parody out tomorrow. But yeah, this was just really refreshing.
Tell me,
for me.
How's Cape Town been during lockdown, and have you guys been able to do any fun stuff? Because I was meant to come down there in December, and I decided hell no, and then January, and I've decided no, and you know, we're halfway through the first month of the year now. Doesn't look like I'm going to head there anytime soon. But obviously, Cape Town in summer is the place to be, and people love being there, and it's usually busy as can be as well. Has it been quiet?
I've kind of been locked up, you know, trying my best just to, you know, not spread coronavirus and that kind of thing. But I've been playing tennis and going for runs and hikes and that kind of thing. But I'm actually coming to Joburg next month, funny enough.
Okay.
Yeah, my wife and I are going to be trialing Joburg for a little bit. My folks lived there for quite some time, and they're retired now in Plett. So they're wanting to sell their townhouse, but before they do that, we're going to try it out.
Okay.
Because I grew up in Joburg. A lot of my friends are there. And yeah, it's an opportunity for us to try this townhouse out. And then if we like it, then I might take it over from my folks.
You might come and stay in Joburg. Good.
Yeah, so... I mean, I enjoy Joburg. I actually wrote Ivan Polka in Joburg. I was there for some gigs and that kind of thing. And I think it's good to switch up the energy a bit. I think Cape Town is maybe a little bit too relaxed. And for someone like me who's already relaxed, I think, you know, I need a bit of Joburg in my life.
Dude, I'm with you.
It's like taking a sleeping pill It's like taking a sleeping pill when you're narcoleptic.
Exactly.
No, I've always maintained that Cape Town makes a great mistress, but not a very good wife. And I love coming to Cape Town to visit, but I don't know if I could spend more than a week there without losing my mind.
Yeah, no, it's 10 years, I think, for me has been enough. That's how long I've been here. And every time I'm in Joburg, you know, people invite me to braais, and it's very social, and I enjoy that, you know. I mean, I've got a few friends in Cape Town, but I can probably count them on one hand, you know?
Yeah.
Manage your expectations. No one's inviting anyone to braais in Joburg.
No, Leanne. No, Leanne. They're just not, no, sorry. They're just not inviting you. I've been invited to braais.
Burn.
Burn, baby. Whoa, okay. Right.
Well, listen, Dave, good to see you, dude, and keep doing the good work. We love what you're doing, and if you ever have anything exciting to tell us, you know how to get here.
No, thanks, Gareth. Always appreciate you, and thanks to your team, guys. I really do appreciate the support.
Awesome, my man. Keep on doing it. Love your stuff.
Cheers, guys.
There he is.
See you in Joburg.
Absolutely. Dave, the Kiffness Scott. What a talented dude. I mean, just such a talented guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people do a parody, they can't actually sing or they can't actually do the music, but this guy can. I mean, he can make real music and he can make bullshit music. Like when I do parodies, it's bullshit, right? I mean, you know, I've sung about Leanne's breasts and, you know, it's always like these stupid songs and people who've shat their pants and that kind of thing. like Sia, for example, when he shat his pants. But it's never, I would never, ever take myself seriously as a musician. But if you can do that funny stuff, but you can also be really musical about it, it's amazing.
Yeah, and man, the whole thing about it is, you know, earning a living.
Yeah.
And what am I watching at the moment? Bridgerton, which is it's based on a series of novels and it's set in the 1800s. It's when poets were poo-pooed and you were not to marry a poet or a musician.
Oh, poo-pooed? That's the worst thing that can happen to you is if you're poo-pooed. It's always so embarrassing when
not
someone poo-poos
you. Poo-pooed.
And people should be rewarded for this talent, man. You know, people should be earning money for the time that it takes them to conceptualize these things
and to
come up with them.
I mean, we spoke about the guy who makes the knives earlier, or that Japanese dude who made my sword, or the Kifness who makes these beautiful songs. People will pay for that stuff. They will. And he'll earn money via YouTube or whatever. And people will pay him to come and play at gigs and things because he's really good. So if you have the talent, you're going to be all right. But only remember, if you're in a creative business and you have those kinds of talents, the chances of you becoming extremely rich are minimal. We always talk about the people in the top like 1% of creative people who make an incredible success of themselves financially. That's not to say that everyone under them is less talented necessarily. But if you, it's like acting, for example, if you can act, acting is not a necessary skill, but the people who do it really well get paid huge amounts of money.
Yeah.
And the people who can sing.
Yeah. But the chances of becoming a billionaire through acting are very minimal.
No, it's very, very slim. In fact, I don't think there is a billionaire actor in the world. I think there are a couple of people who've got hundreds of millions, but I don't know that there's a billionaire actor, you know.
And if they are, they didn't get it just by acting. Yeah. They put their money elsewhere as well. Yeah.
They had to put out to get that.
Put out, exactly.
What?
Well, to Harvey Weinstein. I mean, that's how actors make billions.
What?
They have to put out to Harvey Weinstein. Leanne knows this.
I don't know where the story's headed, but I'm just not going there with you.
Well, Clint from the Val, who often sends us messages on 0797482090, sent me a picture of the queue outside his local post office, and it's a long-ass queue, and he says it's like that every day, and these are people who are hoping to go and get their SASA grants, so that's just insane. And here's something nice. This is terrific. This is from Riette. She says, I had all my blinds replaced during lockdown. Measurements were taken with a laser device. It's quick, professional, and incredible. And obviously she's referring to Taylor Blinds, which is awesome. Apparently, if you rub your blades over ceramic cups, that'll sharpen them. That's according to Jean. But Jean, that sounds like another reason for me to cut myself. If you don't mind, I'm going to leave it to the professionals.
Yeah. Do you know, Gareth, that every time I cut a tomato, I think of you and I cut carefully.
Thanks, Leanne.
Because of your mishap.
So proud of myself. Hey, George.
Hey, Gareth.
George Meany's back, everybody. Now we're really into the year.
Happy year, George.
Yeah, we missed you last Friday. So first of all, how was your holiday? And did you go anywhere or did you do anything exciting or were you just trapped at home like the rest of us?
Nah, just trapped at home like the rest of everybody else. Well, most other people. Other people were trapped looking at the beach but not being able to go there.
Oh, imagine that. That would have driven me crazy.
Yeah. So I just stayed at home. If you can't see, you won't want.
Yeah. Do not enter into the gates of temptation. I agree with that. Sensible. So, George, it's a brand new year. There's loads of stuff to talk about this morning. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's start at New Year's Eve in France. I didn't know this, but a tradition started in the mid-90s where it was born out of protests. And people used to set their cars on fire on New Year's Eve.
Is that like when in Hillbrow they drop fridges out of the top floors of Ponty?
Something like that. Thanks. So what the competition is different cities, residents or people set cars on fire, and then they wait for the next morning for the authorities to report the numbers to see who won.
Mm. And what?
My word!
This is something fun for everybody, the whole family to take part in. Set your car on fire. Well, night.
I guess so. So because of coronavirus, the number of cars set on fire were 861, down from 1,457 the year before.
Oh, damn. That bloody coronavirus.
That reminds me,
ruined all the fun.
That reminds me of the time that some Texas university became the world's biggest drinking university, and then Grahamstown, you know, Rhodes, they said, screw you, and they took it very seriously and decided to outdrink them, and I think they won. So some people have a very strange idea of how competition works.
Exactly, especially if it's a risk to life and limb. They'll go to any measure to win a competition. So France, strange place. Set your car on fire on New Year's Eve. Walk home.
Very silly.
Very silly. And then a gentleman in Canada had a Kia Sportage. You know what a Kia Sportage looks like?
Yeah. I saw one.
He had a 2018 Kia Sportage. Got stolen. Went and bought another one.
Yeah.
And got stolen again.
Oh, no.
What was going on? Because that's not an interesting story unless it was the same person who stole both.
Well, the police say that the chances of having two of the same car stolen from the same person is unlikely, almost 80 to 90% unlikely. And a person owning two Kia Sportages in their lifetime is only a 50% chance.
So did they find out that it was actually the wife who hated Kia Sportage and never had a say in what car they were going to buy and who organized criminals to come and steal them?
We don't know. So obviously the wife hasn't been caught yet, if that's the case.
I know some people who hate their cars and they would like them to be stolen. And I wouldn't put it past the owner of any... what was that horrible thing again?
Fiat Multipla.
Fiat Multipla. I wouldn't put it past anybody who owns one of those to actually go into a dangerous part of town and say to the people there, please steal my Fiat Multipla.
Just go right ahead.
Well, you know, you've heard of these stories at Oliver Tambo Airport where cars have just been left and abandoned.
Yeah.
I wonder if some of those aren't insurance claims.
Quite probably, wow. But then why don't the insurance companies all get together, pay one person to go and check the parking lot at OR Tambo, and they might actually get some of their money back?
Yeah, exactly. I think Oliver Tambo actually does scout for cars that stand there for too long and report them to the police. Because, I mean, I've been I can't remember getting on an aeroplane.
Yeah.
Sometime good old days, more than a year ago. Get to the airport and there are cars with layers of dust on them. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I always wonder, you know, if those cars don't have a body in the boot.
There was a body for it was at a shopping center.
It was at Monte Cassino.
Yeah.
It was on the roof.
A rotting corpse.
So yeah, if you had to drive all the way to the top, and if you parked right at the top, then your car was exposed to rain and sun. And apparently this car was there for a while. Now imagine how hot that thing got in the boot of that car.
All the juice leaking out of the back.
Oh, it's like a rubbish bin being left in the sun for a week.
Yeah, because you can imagine, nobody knows there's a dead rotting body in the boot, and the first person to open up that car or that boot won't have masks. Well, they might have masks on today, but wouldn't have had a mask or any hazmat suit on.
No, projectile vomit, that's what that is. Ugh. All right, what else you got for us, George?
So in the UK, this company called Scrap Car Comparison has launched a new initiative. For just £20, you can – because, you know, in the UK, you get to a point where your car is – like people just leave their cars on the side of the road because they're worth nothing. I don't know if you've ever seen that in the UK, because it costs more to store and park that car than it does to just abandon it. So this company, Scrap Car Comparison, has launched this therapeutic thing for you to beat your car up so you can drive over it with a tank. Give you shotgun guns, and you take your car there, and you can destroy it with their equipment.
Oh, man, we should do that with every single Fiat Multipla.
No.
No, really.
And psychologists actually agree. This it's known as destruction therapy. Mm. Apparently, there is some sort of release of endorphins when you destroy something.
I mean, I know people who've broken up with somebody and then they'll burn all his or her stuff and it'll make them feel better.
Yeah. See, it's only a matter of time. I know this has already started across the US. It's this trend of destruction runes. So you pay some entrance fee, you know, maybe it's like a 30 or 40 rand equivalent. Sure. And you go in, they give you a bat, and they're just pieces of large chunks of glass and large chunks of, you know, plastic. And you go in there, and for like perhaps an hour, you get to just hit things.
I wonder if any, you know, in Gareth's example, any you know, breakups would take their husband or their wife's Ferrari to this place, pay £20 to buy it.
Hello, Mrs. Woods.
I heard such a funny story about how Camilla Parker Bowles, when she had just started dating Andrew Parker Bowles, and he was having affairs with a whole lot of other girls. It's ironic then.
Including the princess sister, right?
Correct, including Princess Anne. So that was very incestuous.
Ew.
People don't know that Camilla's eventual husband had an affair with Princess Anne before he got married to Camilla. So it's all very complicated. Anyway, she once was driving home one night after being with her girlfriends in London, and she drove past one of her friend's apartments and saw her husband's car outside. And she stopped the taxi and she said, just give me, you know, 5 minutes. And she let all the air out of all of his tires and then got back in the taxi and went home.
That's my girl.
That's nice, huh?
I wouldn't know how to do that. I only know how to replace tires.
Leanne, let the rage
guide you.
Oh, trust me, I know the rage. I've kicked in a window before out of pure anger.
And did you feel better? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's huge.
We didn't say let the South guide you.
And then in Norway, electric cars outsell internal combustion engine cars for the first time in 2019. So the future of electric cars is definitely not slowing down.
Although everybody's talking about how Tesla's just such a big bubble waiting to burst, because the price of Tesla shares has just gone sky high. I know it's come down a little bit in the last week, but it's just crazy. I mean, it made Elon the richest man in the world for a week or two.
Yeah. So I agree with that. I think it's a bit of a bubble, but I don't think it changes the success of that business. You know, the share price was based on consumer sentiment or investor sentiment rather than you know, how the company's going to perform, because it sold over 1 million cars.
Yeah, no, that's true. Absolutely. In fact, I think Sean Sanders said as much on like Wednesday when we had him on the show.
Where do most, almost 50% of accidents take place? Guess where? In a parking lot.
Oh, really?
Almost 50%.
46% of all accidents in the US take place in parking lots.
That is so embarrassing.
Yeah, I've never had an accident in my life while I've been driving. But the one bumper bashing, or maybe two, that I've had were in a parking lot.
I see how that can happen.
Well, apparently it's quite It's quite the norm to reverse into something or to bump into something when you're trying to get into a parking bay. But let's be honest, this is American stats. So I wonder what it looks like in South Africa.
Well, I always think that they're making cars bigger and bigger. You get these huge people carriers, which actually are probably too big for most parking spaces. And then you get these parking spaces where they give you ridiculously small spaces to park in. And there are these pillars all over and you can't always see what's coming around the corner, and people drive stupidly in a parking lot. I don't know if you've, I mean, there's some shopping centers in Johannesburg and Pretoria that I just won't go near because I know that these hausfraus who park these people carriers there just don't pay any attention to what's happening around them.
Yeah, I often see people reversing and their head is just facing forward.
Yeah.
I'd rather park and walk than try and get close to the door. You get more space. You don't have the risk of somebody bumping your car.
Yeah. Listen, I'd rather just. There are those people who are obsessed with getting a parking right close to the door. I try and park as far away from the door as possible. I always go, well, first of all, it's going to give me some exercise and I need it. And second of all, I'm not going to have to deal with every other car trying to get that parking, and it's going to be easier for me to get in and out.
You see, I have a svelte figure, so I don't have to worry about that, and I just park right.
That's true. Yeah, absolutely. But don't you also sometimes use the disabled parking, and then you claim it's some kind of mental thing?
I do have a sticker, and I do have a reason, and I do use it.
Yeah, well, just explain, because otherwise people are going to think you're being a shithead. It's your mum who's got a wheelchair.
Yes. Yes, my mum has a wheelchair, so we often get prime parking.
Nice.
Which is great. And my grandfather as well. I used to threaten to park him outside a nightclub while I went inside and drooled for a few hours.
That's hilarious.
And he said he'd be fine. He said, I asked him and he said, I'll be fine with it. I'll just sleep.
Well, that's it, Gareth. There's a little anecdote. Tesla's just installed the sounds of farts and bleating goats to their horn of their Teslas, so you can
take a video like that
Tesla to bleat like a goat or fart.
I love that.
I'd love that.
So instead of hooting, you'll fart.
Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love
it. I also saw.
That's so good. Exactly.
I also saw that one of the features, George, is that you can, with their console in the front, you can select a seat and make that seat fart. So it will sound like the person sitting in the passenger seat is farting.
That is so much fun.
I know motor manufacturers all over the world are always trying to find unique selling points for their car to make their car exciting and to get extra market share and all that. That would make me buy a car.
I would buy a Fiat Multiplier for this.
Yeah, if it could. If you make someone sitting in the back left feel like that, I mean, it would be so funny. Can you imagine? Oh my God, I love that.
Or that your hooter sounds like a goat and you're in traffic and you go blah, 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 blah.
Oh, when you pick up your new date.
I want that sound. I love it.
Blah, 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 blah.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, George. Good to have you back. George is the CEO of Auto Trader. You can find out more about Auto Trader by going, obviously, to their site, which is one of the best sites in South Africa. They also get the most traffic out of any of those sites that are selling cars, and you can go and find out whether your car of your dreams is available there now. Also, if you want to find out more, you can listen to their podcast, Auto Central, which is released every 2 weeks on cliffcentral.com, repeated on a Monday, and George and the team put together some really interesting content. So if you're into the lifestyle of motoring, if you want to know more about cars, if you want to know about the things that happen around the way that we travel and the way that the future might look in terms of travel, make sure you don't miss that. George Meany and Auto Trader with Auto Central on a Monday on cliffcentral.com. Otherwise, have an awesome weekend, everybody. We will see you on Monday at 6 o'clock, bright and early. Have a good weekend. Bye.
cliffcentral.com.